Yo, what's going on, everyone? It is Justin Goodart and Cameron Klein on the Fly Guys podcast, episode number 128. It is Friday, February 17th. I date this this episode, 4:34 p.m., sitting live, not live, won't be live when you're listening, but sitting in Penn State Harrisburg's campus. Cameron's sitting in the comforts of his home of the FGP Studios. How you doing today, Cameron?
I'm doing good.
It's good.
How you doing, man?
I'm okay. We get into this episode. Not a whole lot's been happening in the sports world since Super Bowl Sunday. NBA All-Star Weekend is here. The Sixers are about 2.5 games out of first place in the East. Phillies are about to begin pitchers and catchers report, so spring training's right around the corner. Flyers are terrible. That hasn't changed. Some things never change.
Well, the Flyers are bad again. You know, they had a little brief moment where people thought they were going to turn things around, and then here we are.
Yeah,
here we are. They were losing 6-2 to the Kraken.
6-2, and the Kraken, led by Dave Hakstol, are looking like a playoff team, which I just love. I just thought I'd say that out loud. Yeah. Dave Hakstol took the Flyers to the playoffs a couple times. They didn't do anything in the playoffs, so unless that changes, I don't really care that much what the Kraken do. But let's get into it. Super Bowl Sunday, Eagles lose to the Kansas City Chiefs, 38-35. They had it. They had it at halftime. They had played pretty much exactly how I thought they needed to play. They had one mistake, but they made up for that mistake. They had a 10-point lead. Patrick Mahomes might have been on the field for a grand total of 7 minutes, in part to that fumble return for a touchdown, but the goal had been accomplished. You were minimizing Mahomes' field position time, and you were having the Eagles out there taxing the Kansas City defense. In the second half, it was a very different story. Kansas City, they were the better team. They did not punt once. They only took a field goal out of necessity, a.k.a. to win the Super Bowl. And Philadelphia did not do what it needed to do in order to win. This is not a case of the better team lost. That is not the case at all. Philadelphia was not the better team. If they had been the better team, they would have won. In a Super Bowl, you get one chance, and there were plays left out on the field. I'm not going to talk about holding calls. I'm not going to talk about this should have been a catch. Why did the refs overturn it? There were plays the Eagles could have made. Quez Watkins dropping that ball deep in Kansas City territory when they still had a 24-21 lead. That was a big deal. And Philadelphia not moving the ball once Kansas City took the lead again, and then allowing Kadarius Toney to have a 60-whatever-it-was-yard punt return. When you lose the Super Bowl, you look to rationalize it. When your favorite team loses, you look to try and come up with any little amount of itty-bitty BS that is going to make you feel better. But I think you can just apply Occam's razor here, Cameron. The Kansas City Chiefs are the greatest team in the NFL this season, and they deserve to be Super Bowl champions, and a lot of credit goes to them.
Yeah, dude. The holding call, dude, like, you know, it was – he held him. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I just think that at that point in a Super Bowl, you that's just a weak-ass call. I'm not going to – it's not blaming on that, obviously, though, because like you said, there's so many things, dude. Like, for example, you know, a couple weeks ago – I don't want to toot my own horn, but, I mean, you were talking about Jonathan Gannon, and I was like, dude, I still don't trust that guy. I still don't. Look, and Super Bowl Sunday is a prime example of why. How do you not sack him once with that pass rush? How do you not sack Patrick Mahomes once with that pass rush?
How do you not adjust? I mean,
there was no adjustment, and that's always what Jonathan Gannon has done. He's never adjusted. He's never been a person to adjust, ever, ever. He sticks to his game plan. He plays a soft zone coverage. Every time Travis Kelce got the ball, where was it? About 15, 20 yards off the line of scrimmage. Because of soft zone coverage. Never made any adjustment for him. Never made any adjustment for Mahomes. Never made anything. They couldn't handle the line shifts at the line of scrimmage. They couldn't handle... These are basic things to me.
Yeah.
And I you can't put the blame on all one person, but I think Jonathan Gannon holds a lot of it. That defense is way too talented to play like that. Way too talented.
Yeah, I agree. Look. You know, I did not think Jonathan Gannon's defense was going to stop Patrick Mahomes. I did not think it was going to be so helpless in that second half where you just kind of had to look through your hands at the TV. I think the biggest thing for me was that the no generated pass rush was definitely problematic, and the fact that they never tried to dial it up. That last possession to me will go down as one of the biggest frustrations in my life, where you haven't stopped them. And, you know, time is not on your side when they have the ball. Why not just be ultra aggressive? If you give up the big play, a 60-yard touchdown, at least you get the ball back to Hurts and you get one more chance at maybe trying to tie the game or whatever. But they didn't adjust. And then, of all the things, to not even talk to the media after the game, to be that, I don't know whether you're that upset. I don't know if you're that gung-ho on your own system that you don't feel you need have to answer for what happened. To not meet with the media on the podium afterwards is, in my opinion, a very bad look for the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. I don't know how Cardinals fans feel, but if you want my honest opinion, he is someone that when it's going good, you can ride with him. And when he just displayed when it's not going good, he's going to duck and cover, and you're just going to have to deal with that. So take, you know, if that's what you want out of your head coach, that's fine. I mean, I don't know how much Cliff Kingsbury answered for losses, but I don't know. I just think that's a bad look. People want to talk about the holding call, and listen, I agree to the extent that I would love to see that call just get let go of. But I'm also an Eagles fan. You know, if you bring in a Chiefs fan into this podcast, they're going to be like, "No, you held him," and I get it. They were up by 10 at halftime, dude. They didn't have to be tied 35-35 with no time remaining. They could have just not let that happen, but they didn't. They did let it happen. This is the worst loss I've ever had to deal with. This is the one. 2011, Game 5 versus the Cardinals is pretty painful. Game 6 versus Chicago Blackhawks is pretty painful. 2010, Game 6 versus the San Francisco Giants is really painful. Kawhi Leonard's shot is pretty painful. This one, this is the worst one because I really thought they were going to win the game, and I was wrong. And I'm very happy for Andy Reid winning his second Super Bowl. He pretty much solidifies himself, in my view, as a top five all-time head coach. I really believe that.
Yeah, I would say so. It's hard to argue with it, given the overall amount of wins he has, plus the NFC Championship games, the AFC Championship games now. It's
tier below Belichick, Walsh, and Lombardi, but still there. Yeah. Like, you know, definitely deserves honorable mention. This hurts. This is going to hurt for a long time. After the game ended, I left my parents' house. Didn't even say goodbye. I just got in my car and I drove home. You might say that's a little egregious. I'm not finished with my story. It's a 2.5-hour drive back to Harrisburg. I was on Route 30. I stopped my car around, I don't know, 11 o'clock. And I just sat, or not 11 o'clock, it would have been later than that. It was probably like closer to like midnight. I stopped my car on the shoulder, turned off my car, and I just stared out of my windshield for probably 3 hours. Didn't say anything. Phone was turned off.
For 3 hours?
I didn't get home until about 5 in the morning.
Jesus Christ, dude.
I just sat there. I didn't want to do anything. I just couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it.
For 3 hours? Dude, that's not... It's a game, man. I know you love the Eagles, but that's
the best
that's
part.
Concerning.
The best part was I had the foresight to have my four-ways on, which 3 hours, it's like, damn. A cop comes by, taps on my window. He's like, "Are you okay?" Like, and I just look at him, just like, "I'm good." And he's like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "I'm an Eagles fan." And he says, "Oh." He goes, "Are you okay to get home?" I'm like, "Oh no, officer, I didn't drink. Like, I didn't have a drop of alcohol," which is true. I don't drink during Eagles games. Cameron knows this. And he didn't even say goodnight. He just kind of like slowly backed away. Like, he's like, "I don't want to be near an Eagles fan after a loss like that." You're right. It's over the top. Of course it's over the top. I know it's over the top. You don't have to tell me. But it's, you know, I didn't want to be in my apartment after the loss and just try and sleep it off. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I, for God's sakes, I pretty much put my phone like in the back seat of the car, and I just sat there as straight face as possible, and all I could keep replaying in my head was the decision to punt on 4th and 3, was the field goal, which I begged God, said I would, you know, I said I'd start going to church again. Please let it be blocked. Please let something happen. Whew, right through. And, they deserve to lose. I can't make this any more clear. I'm not one of these fans that, like, blames refs, blames, you know,
yeah,
the roof being open in Arizona. I know that the field sucked, but both teams had to deal with the field being bad. And someone made a good point. I think it was Jimmy Kemsky made a good point saying neutralizing an Eagles advantage is still an advantage to the Chiefs, which I agree with. But again, you were up by 10 at halftime. This isn't like the game was tied all the way through. And that start, oh God, that start was so good. Like, that first drive, I'm sure you watched and you were like, wow, that's exactly what they needed to do. And they went out and they flat out did it.
Yeah.
And then the deep pass to A.J. Brown. They go up 14-7. They get the ball back and then the fumble. And then the fumble. But then they it didn't matter. Like, they went right back to Hurts running. The first play after that, Hurts, 13-yard run. And then who finishes the drive? It's a Hurts end zone run. One thing that was established, Jalen Hurts is a franchise elite quarterback. He proved it. He could play on the biggest stage like that, especially after his playoffs, let's be honest, had been nowhere near to that caliber. Oh, God, I'm going to think about this loss for the rest of my life.
Yeah, dude. I mean, Hurts is he's a real deal, dude. He put together an MVP caliber game.
If they win, I mean, it's not even a question as to who wins MVP.
It's not a question. No, he would be the Super Bowl MVP. It's not even close.
And people,
another thing that frustrates me is I felt like they didn't run nearly as much. Like, they ran with Hurts a lot.
I didn't see Miles
Sanders fumbled out into the out of bounds in the first play, and then they never went back to him.
But it never felt like they were even able, even when they tried to with Kenny Gainwell. Like, the Chiefs' defensive line just seemed like they were prepared to stop the run. If nothing else, they were going to stop the run. And did the Eagles abandon it a little too quickly? Maybe. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, but it just didn't feel to me like they were able to ever even get established with the run.
You got to keep fucking trying.
I do agree. You can't just give up after one drive.
You got to keep Mahomes off the field, and they didn't. They blew it.
They did. I really do think they blew it. Listen, everyone talking on. You know, my friends who are Eagles fans were like, nah, we'll be back. I was like, you know, I just don't enjoy hearing that because everyone assumes you get back and no one ever takes into account how hard it is to get back.
Yeah.
And you're a fan of a team that knows that pretty damn well.
Yeah. Even if you have the greatest quarterback of all time.
To never,
mean you're gonna get
especially
back
the without a doubt, the greatest one to never win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You get there once, and you think it'll be, you know, you think that's definitely not the last time we'll see Dan Marino in a Super Bowl. Drew Brees never got back to a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers never got back to a Super Bowl. And those guys are all-time legends. It's not as easy as it looks, believe it or not. Peyton Manning might have won two. Probably should have been to a lot more than four in his career.
Yeah, given the caliber of his. And plus, you got to think about the Eagles, too, and how there's a lot of... There's a lot of free agents coming off this team. Hurts is going to have to get paid.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going on with Kelsey. He doesn't know if he's going to retire or not. If he doesn't decide to retire, then you got to worry about having him on the roster. That's going to take up some money there too.
They just restructured his contract apparently, which I don't know if that's a sign of him coming back or not. But they did create I think $3 million more dollars in their cap space, which it's good. A lot of guys are going to be restructured, I would imagine. But you're right. You know what? That's just going to make it all the more harder. Like, to keep, you're going to have to decide which players are going to be the core group of players you want to have you in the position to get back to a Super Bowl. Are you paying Kaiser White? Are you paying James Bradbury? Are you paying CJ Gardner-Johnson? I would say Gardner-Johnson, you kind of have to because he was your best defensive back. The other two?
Yeah.
Not so much. I don't know how I feel about them. But at the same time, if you don't pay them, those are now holes to fill, and they're not easy to fill. Anyone will tell you roster building in the NFL might just be the hardest job in sports.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's been agony. And of course I work in a place where the TV is always on ESPN, and I just keep looking up and I just keep seeing the Chiefs celebrating and people talking about Mahomes' legacy now. And it's, you know, is he already a top five quarterback in NFL history? You and I are both Aaron Rodgers fans, and we've both said to each other that we've never seen a guy throw the ball, like never a better football thrower than Aaron Rodgers that we've seen in our lives. Mahomes is definitely up there. Do you think that he?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think he can be argued as top five all time already?
If he's not, he's going to be within the next couple of years.
Yeah.
At this point, it's just it's a question of longevity.
Yeah.
He's already got two Super Bowls. He's already got an NFL MVP.
Two.
He's already got multiple Super Bowl MVPs. Yeah. So it's. He's already, like, at this point, it's the fact that if he's not a top five, it's just because he hasn't been in the league long enough. Give him three more years. But, dude, it's no. To me, he's a top five. But you don't see the shit that guy does. And I know you're saying that the Chiefs are the better team, but in terms of how the rosters are built, the Eagles are built better. But Mahomes just put it together.
You think he played better than Hurts in the Super Bowl?
No.
I don't either. I thought Mahomes.
He only threw for 182 yards.
I thought Mahomes had to have like the world's greatest game to beat the Eagles. He did not. Turns out Hurts would have had to have had like the greatest game ever to win that game.
And he almost did. Save that one fumble, man. That's one of the best Super Bowl performances you've ever seen. But like you said, dude, the guy recovered. The guy recovered from the fumble. Plays really, really well. His response to it too is amazing. Again, when he's asked about the game, his first go to thing is I fumbled that ball and I blew an opportunity. He's not talking about how great of a game and how he recovered and look at me and all the shit I did. He's saying, hey, this is what I did wrong. This is what I could have done better. And that's what you love out of Jalen Hurts. And Nick Sirianni too. A silver lining is at least that the team is handling it extremely well compared to some teams in the NFC losses.
Yeah,
they're saying, look, we messed up. We screwed up. Blah, 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 blah. They're taking it on the chin. I'm like some bitches out in California who just still can't seem to let go of the fact that they lost.
The only thing that I saw was A.J. Brown kind of going after Juju Smith-Schuster because Juju put out this tweet on Valentine's Day. It was just. You know, I'm sure you saw it. And my thoughts on that are simple. One, I don't care that much. But A.J. immediately says in the beginning of that post where he goes after Juju saying, firstly, congrats, like you deserve to be there. Now whether Juju was really on his way out of the league, like AJ says, I don't necessarily agree with it. Juju was talented enough, he was always going to find a spot somewhere. The real hero of the game is Kadarius Toney reviving his career and getting with the Chiefs, and then he gets a ring and he has a huge punt return out of it. I just watched him run. I was past the point of yelling. I just kept watching him. I was like, yep, the first round pick of the Giants who gets cut. Oh my God, he's going to haunt the Eagles now. As fitting as it is, but I think in our our previous show, I talked about Isaac Pacheco.
You did, yeah.
Oh my God, I was so right about that, dude. That guy's good. He's so good.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm so annoyed at how good he is.
In the beginning of the season, that he was going to be solid, and it kind of just took a little bit of time.
God.
He had a little bit of an injury that kind of nagged him, and then. Yes, he's been off to the races ever since.
Seventh.
And again, Andy Reid is he's an offensive guru, man. So we can't be surprised that he got the best out of Kadarius Toney. We can't be surprised that he got the best out of Pacheco. And what's funny is like I want to be annoyed at the Chiefs celebration. Like I want to be annoyed at the fact that they're saying like nobody counted us out or whatever. Which is just like, dude, come on. Like, yeah, people like you're out of your mind. You have Patrick Mahomes. Nobody counted you out. You weren't climbing up the mountaintops. You weren't the 8-8 New York Giants beating the New England Patriots the second time in the Super Bowl. Stop it. However, at the same time, let's not ignore the fact that the same ESPN that you're watching that's on at Penn State Harrisburg all the time was talking a whole bunch of shit on the Chiefs because Tyreek Hill left. Because they were just like, oh, well, Mahomes had Tyreek Hill. He's not going to be able to throw to anything. Kelsey's not going to be able to get open because Tyreek Hill won't be able to stretch the field, blah, blah, blah. Like, what are you talking about? You're out of your fucking mind. So, like, I do get where some of the Chiefs are coming from, but, you know, whatever. It is what it is.
Well, you're completely right. I mean, the fact that ESPN, ESPN generates talking points all the time, like, because that's why having a 24-hour news station, whether it's news or sports or whatever, is such a bad idea, because you run out of things to talk about, and the truth of the matter is they were always going to be fine. They were always going to be fine. The only question was going to be, were they going to turn around and do what they did in their first year without their, like, their star wide receiver? The jury came to a verdict. They're still that good. They're going to be that good for a long time. The rest of the AFC should be worried that in their first year without their star wide receiver, they were just like, all right, we'll just go 14-3 and win the freaking Super Bowl. It's all good.
It's the same reason why when Miami traded for Tyreek Hill, I wasn't ecstatic. I'm like, dude, yeah, he's a star wide receiver. How many star wide receivers didn't get a ring? Now, granted, Tyreek Hill has one, but because he had Patrick Mahomes on his goddamn team, too.
Well, you were also not excited about the trade for other reasons as well.
Well, yeah, domestic reasons, yeah, of course. Yeah. Because the guy's not a good dude. But my whole point is just, like, dude, receiver, like, Terrell Owens, no ring. Randy Moss, no ring.
No ring.
Chad Johnson, no ring. I mean, like, come on. Star receivers aren't what makes a team. So why we thought that the Chiefs were just going to fall, why some people thought the Chiefs were going to fall apart because Tyreek Hill wasn't there, it's absolutely ludicrous.
I wonder, now that you say it like that, do you think, because people talk about, with LeBron James passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and him being talked about like the quote-unquote greatest basketball player of all time now.
Yeah, bullshit.
we can talk about that.
Three, dude.
We can talk about that in a second, but I just want to ask. Jerry Rice won all those Super Bowls, and granted, he had two very good quarterbacks, but do you think, because he was a star wide receiver and put up the numbers and won all the accolades, do you think that gives an argument to him being the greatest football player ever?
It does. I would say it does, yeah.
I would agree. Especially when you start mentioning off all these names of people that didn't get it done.
Yeah, like he did have Montana, but Montana was very clutch. He was an extremely clutch quarterback. He was able to stay
a system quarterback, definitely.
But to me, he wasn't anything amazing. I wouldn't put him in my top 10. Sorry, Joe. I wouldn't.
Wow.
Top five. I wouldn't put him in my top five.
Okay. All right. I'm willing to let that slide.
Yeah.
Well, to get me out of – they lost the game. They could have won. So real quick, because now I'm just kind of interested. So LeBron does what he does. Mm-hmm. And by the way,
I'll give you my three
Kareem
now.
Didn't –
I'll give you my three right now. Kareem,
yeah,
Magic, MJ.
What was it?
Kareem, Magic, MJ, in no particular order.
Kareem, Magic, MJ. Firstly, Kareem didn't look happy to be there. I just couldn't help but notice it. He did not look happy. But, you know, like, I've kind of gone back and forth on this a lot because I LeBron James is just, I mean, he's unbelievable. He really is an unbelievable player.
Is.
There will never be another like him, in my opinion.
I agree.
But then when I think about guys like Kareem, when I think about Magic Johnson, without a doubt, is the greatest point guard of all time. And traditional point guards are pretty much dead nowadays. I think the last true point guard is, at this point, Chris Paul. He's the only one that acts as a traditional point guard. But Kareem did all the scoring, and he won a lot. You know, he won all those rings. But then it becomes this, in my opinion, to be the GOAT, you have to have the right amount of stats versus the right amount of winning.
Yeah.
Bill Russell won 11 rings, but no one considers him the greatest of all time because he played in an era where the competition was not very good and his stats kind of did not match up well to Wilt Chamberlain's, and people viewed Wilt Chamberlain as like one of the greatest ever.
Yeah.
What's another good example? And then we look at Michael Jordan. He's got the stats. He won 6 rings, never lost the finals, but he did have a period of losing early in his career from 1984 until 1989, whenever it was. I mean, that was, you know, you had to deal with the Celtics, the bad boy Pistons, the Lakers, all that stuff. And then LeBron, who is 3-6, I think, in the finals for his career. 3-5, 3-6, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, I mean, the three he had was what? He had Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade for two of them, and then he had Kyrie Irving for another one, right?
He did. Kyrie hit that big shot. That comeback over Golden State, I think, is...
You see what I'm building here? You see kind of where
I'm
landing?
But what I'd also say is, do we take away Kobe's first couple because he had Shaq? Do we take away precedent from that, or do we diminish what Shaq did because he had Kobe and then he had Dwayne Wade when he won another ring in 05? I've never waited.
But I would say, well, I'm not comparing LeBron to Kobe and Shaq. It's more to in my top three. I wouldn't put Kobe in my top three either.
Well, no, I don't have Kobe in my top five.
Yeah.
So, great player, but took like 90,000 shots. Right. he should have a lot of points. He took a lot of shots. I think it's a really good question of how you determine who the greatest player of all time is. I think if I had to go with my three, in all seriousness, because people ask me what my top three is, and I always just give them BS answers. I'm like, oh, well, for one, Allen Iverson's the greatest player ever because that's who all I cared about when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And then Julius Erving is second, and then Moses Malone third.
Right.
But my top three, and I don't think I can give an order right now because I haven't thought about it because I didn't anticipate us talking about this.
No.
MJ.
Go ahead, MJ.
I was going to say MJ. People are not going to like what I'm going to say here. Larry Bird and I think Magic are in my top three. Larry Bird was like the greatest shooter ever until Steph Curry came around.
That's the only reason why I wouldn't put Larry Bird as high is because I feel like his one thing was shooting, and I don't think he was the best at that because of Steph Curry. Because Steph Curry is just ridiculous.
Well, no, I mean, I wonder if you think Steph will be in your top three when it's all said and done?
No.
Because do you think he's too one-dimensional?
I guess. I guess that's the best way to put it. He's an amazing shooter.
He is the greatest shooter ever.
Yeah, he is. He is. But to me, that's not everything. There's so much more to basketball than shooting.
I would challenge you on one thing of that statement. At the end of the day, scoring will always be the most important goal of basketball. And I do think there is something to be said when you can say that in a league that is dominated by scoring, you were the greatest shooter ever.
Yeah, that's true. But there's also other ways to score.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. I don't think we ever talk about basketball on this podcast. So I actually kind of enjoy like having the chance to talk about basketball.
Yeah, not as much. And I do have to admit that I don't like LeBron. So I am biased 100%. I'm willing to admit that.
He is biased. I like LeBron. I do like LeBron a lot.
I accept them. I do like what he does. I do watch him. There's plenty of times in my life where I've watched LeBron and I went, holy shit, that was incredible. I've never seen anything like that. I will admit that. But just in terms of like you said, championships, when you measure that type of thing and over onto a team, to me, he hasn't persevered as much as other basketball players have. Like Kareem, like Magic, like MJ. He hasn't done that. Like you said, the three rings that he has, he was with Dwayne Wade, he was with Chris Bosh for two of them, and then he's with Kyrie Irving for the other one. He always had a crew around him. And don't get me wrong, Jordan always had Scottie Pippen. Jordan always had some guys around him, but not like Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and Kyrie Irving. He's never had guys like that.
But listen. At the end of the day, supporting cast matters. Stats matter. Wins matter. I think if you polled 100 people, you're going to get 80 or 90 different answers on who they think their top three is. It is extremely subjective. I don't think mine is necessarily right. I don't think Cameron's is necessarily right or wrong for that matter. The only thing I do agree on is that Allen Iverson is the only player I ever gave a true damn about. All right, the fact that he never won a ring annoys me. It's going to annoy me. It's going to annoy me when Joel Embiid doesn't win in Philadelphia either. Believe me, it's going to annoy the hell out of me.
Yeah, I know. And it just looks more and more like that's going to happen. I don't know.
If they don't get to the finals this year, I don't see how Embiid's with the Sixers.
Dude, because
next year.
Think about a guy like his size, it's not sustainable for him to continue to play this way forever. The clock's going to run out, and
I'm amazed he's still putting it up he's a Hall of Famer. The Sixers have drafted a Hall of Famer. He is a Hall of Famer, first ballot, no questions asked. He should have at least won one MVP. I'm not going to get into the whole, you know, fat man from Serbia thing, but it's annoying, and the fact that he's never been all NBA because of that fat man from Serbia annoys me. And if he does not win a ring in his career at some point, it's going to depress the heck out of me. But it's going to hurt even worse if he leaves Philadelphia. I am begging that team to make it to the conference final or the finals. Please. I don't even care if you win the finals. Just make it there so that way people believe that this team can do it, and that way there's a reason to keep them in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I will say, dude, now the football season's done, I'm very excited to start watching basketball again, get really into it. It's one of my favorite sports to really watch, man, recently, the last couple of years.
Sixers, they're, like I said, it's All-Star weekend. Yeah. Then I just want to see, because their season will continue on Thursday. Oh, gosh, I hate Bleacher Report so much. Thursday, they're going up against Memphis, so that's Ja Morant's team. You know, pretty good team.
Yeah.
Then Saturday, at home against Boston. That's going to be a darn good game.
That's going to be a tough one.
Well, listen, if you're gonna make it somewhere, you got to prove that you can beat these teams.
You got to beat that team. You're right.
And then Monday on the 27th, home against the Heat. And then it's a home-and-home with the Heat, then Dallas, then Milwaukee. That's like they got quite a stretch coming out of the break. We're going to find out what they're made of real quick.
Yeah.
All right. So, to wind down, Cameron's been very kind to me. Like, he knows that I'm hurt over this game. He knows that I'm hurt. Even though he did call me out. I mean, it is egregious to be sitting in a car for 3 hours and not getting home till 5 in the morning. Thankfully, I had to Monday off.
Right.
I pre-planned this by taking Monday off for win or loss. I was going to need the day to decompress, and boy, did I need that day.
It was funny because
real quick,
I wish I could send I wanted to play the voicemail you sent me in halftime because you were very excited. But
oh my gosh, can you? That would have been so perfect, man. That would have been so good.
Dude, as soon as you sent it to me, I was like, I'm not going to answer what he's saying, and I'm going to keep this, but. I'm not going to do that now because it's.
Did you enjoy it? Did you at least enjoy it?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, it was great. It was hilarious. It was perfect content, dude. It was perfect content. But maybe one day. Maybe one day we'll talk about it.
It'll be like a released episode, like Tales from the Game That Could Have Been.
Right, yeah. But yeah, and then after that, I texted you, I think, 2 days after, and it was just like, how you feeling?
Yeah, and I was just like, you know, I'm deflated. And he was just like, yo, man. Like, Cameron was so nice, but he goes, yo, man, I get it. Your team is so great. Like, we know that they can get back there. And I'm just like, yeah, we'll do the show, you know, on Thursday. And then you're like, yeah, I got to do it Friday, though. And I'm like, that's fine. We'll do it Friday. I was in no mood to talk about it, but, you know, Cameron being a close friend of mine, he was very sympathetic. I mean, to be honest, I would have given you a couple days as well if it had been the other way around, if the Dolphins had lost to, I don't know, the Niners or something like that.
Anybody.
But to wrap things up, this is not something that we ever talk about on here, my time here at Penn State Harrisburg, but kind of a special circumstance.
Yeah, it's for a special person, so it's cool. I'm looking forward to it.
A person that Cameron's never met, but has certainly heard a lot about, Kendis Butler.
Yeah. I can't remember if I did meet her or not. I don't think
think you did.
Maybe once.
I don't think you did. Inevitably, when Kendis listens to this part of the podcast, she'll be able to text me and let me know immediately whether she's met you or not. I don't think you have, but I could be wrong. You met Tom and Seth, that I know.
I met everybody else, yeah.
Yeah. So Kendis Butler is a point guard on Penn State Harrisburg's women's basketball team. For those of you guys who follow college basketball, I think that, you know, anytime that we talk about men's or women's, it really shouldn't matter. Cameron and I actually had the chance to cover Shippensburg's basketball team, both men and women, and I don't know how you felt, but I always enjoyed the women's team a lot more because they won a lot more, I felt, than the men did. Although, oh, no, I'm sorry, you know what?
Yeah.
When they had Steph Nauer and Lauren Gold, and those girls were really fun to watch.
Yeah, well, I guess, but, like, you're also talking about the team that won the PSAC, the men's team.
Thinking the first 2 years, because our junior and senior year, they won 23 and, like, 22 games, respectively, the men's team did.
Yeah,
they had Dustin Sliva, Abe Masali, they had Justin MacArthur. That team did win a lot, so I'm misspeaking on that regard. The first 2 years, the women's team won a little bit more.
Right.
But regardless, both teams were very fun to watch. I greatly enjoyed them.
Yeah, it was doing those broadcasts was the highlight of my college career, for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, doing anything on that radio station meant the world to me. I loved my time doing those broadcasts. But Kendis, you know, was yet another collegiate athlete I had the chance to cover and get to know. And she is going to finish up her time at Penn State Harrisburg as the all-time leading scorer. She has amassed 1,258 points for her career, averaging... Let's see here. Per game, she's averaging 31 minutes per game. She averaged 12.5 points for her career, shot 72% from free throws, shot 30% from three-point land, 31% from the field. Really, I think that, one, Candace, I'm very proud of you for what you've accomplished in your time at Penn State Harrisburg. But, you know, when you think about, like, players that have to overcome, you know, whether it be mental doubts or physical deficiencies to be a great player, you're not talking about someone who's the fastest player on the court. You're not talking about someone who, you know, was tall. She's 5'5", so even from a woman's basketball presence, she was not someone that towered over others. I think it's very hard to have one thing that you're extremely good at, know that the opponent is going to hone in on you, and still be able to get shots off and get them in as at the frequency that she was able to do. It's kind of like, you know, when the Chicago Bears had Walter Payton, and all teams knew were they're gonna hand the ball off to Walter Payton, and you still couldn't stop it. I think that that's a testament to players' talents individually. And for her,
I mean, not to bring the wound back up, but I mean, like the Eagles do when they line up for a quarterback sneak, you know what they're going to do.
Exactly. They're going to outlaw that play now. And it's ridiculous. They're going to outlaw that play.
It is fucking ridiculous, dude. It's bullshit.
It's dumb.
Anyway, back to you.
So
point being is, it's very impressive for an athlete to be able to do that.
And not only that, this is someone that in her sophomore year scored 424 points, which was second in the nation. She was second in the nation in scoring. For her career, she's hit 291 three-pointers for her career, which is a record in Penn State Harrisburg that will probably never be touched again. And really, I just wanted to say that it has been a pleasure getting the chance to watch her night in, night out. Best game that she ever had, at least from a points basis, came in her sophomore year against Gwendolyn Mercy. 10 three-pointers she hit in the game, 33 points.
Damn.
Pretty good. She broke 1,000 points last year. She set the all-time record this year. I just wanted to say that, you know, Penn State Harrisburg is losing a great player. You're never going to have the same one again. And the program should be very grateful that, you know, she chose to come here. And this is also, by the way, I just like to mention, if she hadn't missed a year from COVID, you know, who knows, you know, what kind of numbers she might have put up. But congrats to Candace. Very, very proud of you. And tomorrow when you walk the floor, I'll be very happy to call your name just one more time as the announcer for Penn State Harrisburg. And then after that, you get to go on and do the adult things in life that Cameron and I have loved so much ever since we left college.
It only goes downhill from here, Candace. So
It gets worse.
Yeah, make it.
You might want a triple major.
Right, yeah. Enjoy while it lasts. And I do got to say, you know, with something you were, the way you were describing her reminded me of a certain special somebody to me who I have to throw out there. I have to give them the platform for finally making it into the Hall of Fame. Zach Thomas, not the fastest, not the largest, not the tallest, but the goddamn man.
Zach Thomas.
And as of right now, the plan is my dad turned 60 in September, and dad's birthday present is I want to go in August.
To the Hall of Fame game.
Not the game, but just at least the induction. He was like,
to Canton. Oh, my God, yeah. That would be awesome.
Yeah, so that's the plan as of right now. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I don't want to take that away from Candace, but just the way you're describing her reminded me of a Hall of Fame football player. So I'm comparing you to one of my favorite players of all time, Candace. I hope you don't take that lightly.
She's sitting there going, oh, yeah, that's absolutely. I don't know who Zach Thomas is, but that's awesome. She's doing a Google search right now. She's hearing this going, Zach Thomas. And then she's going to be like, oh, he's a linebacker. I see.
Oh, my God. That's the thickest neck I've ever seen. Yeah, yes, it is. yeah.
But, I mean, honestly, I always thought that, you know, like a Tyreek Hill, for example, if you have, like, this God-given talent where you're unstoppable, like, I'm not saying it's easy to be great, but, you know, it certainly makes the journey a lot easier on you. When you take a player that has no truly dominant physical traits, but you're able to turn in dominant performances and turn in a truly wonderful career, I think that's often spoken more about the player and the mentality of them individually.
Yes. 100%.
I mean, for her, I mean, you should see. Her ankles are taped up like unbelievably, like before every game. For all we know, she's playing like on a, like, you know, potentially like on an injured leg, and she's been doing so for weeks. She still goes out there, plays very hard on defense, still bangs in a couple threes, and then immediately gets pulled off the floor for a substitution. That's another story for another day. But it's just it kills me how anyone could go through what she's gone through from a mental standpoint, and then physically the kind of quote unquote trauma that you put your body through when you're playing sports. Because though basketball is not football, it can still get pretty rough down there.
It's a lot more physical than people think. It's a lot more.
It is a lot more physical. Plus, and the endurance, like the cardio that has to go into the running, the back and forth, it's unbelievable.
I mean, if you don't think it's a physical game, just go down to the YMCA and play a pickup game against random people. And
and that's just against random, like, Joe Schmoes. That's not even college or NBA style.
Not superstar athletes, right, yeah.
I can't say enough. I'm just so proud of her. And, you know, I really hope that – I hope she has fun tomorrow. You know, you only get this amount of time in your life to really enjoy these little hobbies that you want to do. And I think it's important that, you know, you seize these opportunities now. Because if you don't, when you look back later in life, you'll wish, man, I wish I had done this a little bit more. And one thing that I wished I had done in Shippensburg a lot more, and I'm sure you'll agree, I wish I had gotten into more intramural sports. I wish I had done other things, like not just hockey. I wish I had done like some basketball, maybe some softball or something like that. Just more things to keep myself active, because nowadays it's hard to find those things to do. And I would have loved to have played college sports. I know I wouldn't have been any good, but I would have had fun. And that's all I want to see out of people, is have the chance to have fun. That's what I wanted to see out of her.
Yeah, I mean, I would have absolutely sucked if I actually played actual college sports. But no, you're right. Like, I do look back on, like, it was intramural hockey. But I still look back on those days, and it's like, man, I wouldn't mind getting together with those guys again and playing another game. It's,
absolutely.
It was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun back then, you know? It's cool, you know? And so, yeah, look, just try to enjoy it. Try to enjoy it. Win or lose, just enjoy your time there.
For the Fly Guys podcast, my name is Justin Goodhart. This has been Cameron Klein. You can follow us on Twitter at the Fly Guys podcast, at Goodhart Justin, at Cameron Klein 15. Be sure, as always, to be happy, to be healthy. Do the things you want to do. I think that's one thing, if you're taking anything away from the end of this episode, is do what you want to do. And as always, you know, let's go Sixers, let's go Flyers, let's go Eagles. Phillies are right around the corner. If you're struggling to find things to love in sports, well, then take a break from sports like I'm doing. I'm taking a bit of a mental hiatus. I'm watching House a lot more. Please enjoy the shows that you want to watch. Take a break from sports. Play a video game. For God's sakes, play, I don't know, Crash Bandicoot. That's a good game.
Oh, fantastic.
We'll see you next time, everyone.